All right, it's 7 o'clock. Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. First on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. Y'all please stand. Take your hats off. Put your hand over your heart.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take a moment of silence prayer. Okay. All right. First on the agenda tonight, I'd like to introduce Phil. Phil Feigl. He's with L4 Security Group. And he's here to give a presentation or answer your questions about what they would have to offer as far as for security coverage. So the floor is yours, Phil.
Thank you, Mayor. And Commissioners, let me start off by giving you guys a business card so you can remember my name. There you go. I'm Phil Feigl. My title is Regional Director for the L4 Security Consulting Group. L4 is a private security firm that was founded in 2019. By two gentlemen in London, Kentucky. Both police officers. Buddy Blair was London City PD, but spent primarily most of his time with the FBI task force. He has 30 years of experience. And John Glanton, who was with originally Laurel County Sheriff's Office, but moved to Lexington Fire Department as an arson and explosives investigator. He had 22 years of experience. Personally, I have 22 years of experience as a police officer. I just retired from the LaGrange Police Department up here, and they contacted me and said, would you like to run our Louisville office? And I said, absolutely. John also happens to be my cousin. That does help. Hey, and in a private agency, there's no law against that.
Thank you, sir.
Phil Feigl, the Old Force Security Company. So I was speaking with the mayor. I had sent out a flyer. This is the one that I sent out to all the mayors in the city of Louisville, from the small cities. We have a service, more explained in this particular flyer, called our mobile patrol service. As you know, LMPD is extremely short, and I hope you all don't mind if I said. LMPD is extremely short. They are completely covered up every day. Their shifts are anywhere from 8 to 12 hours. And during that time, they're responding to call after call after call and don't get the time to do random patrols in neighborhoods like they ought to. No, it's not to be disparaging to the officers. They're doing the best they can. But the fact of the matter is, they just can't service Louisville and all the small cities as well as they ought to be able to, especially not at the levels that they're currently at, which I think is somewhere just above half staff. So, to fill that gap, we decided to start this mobile patrol service. So what we have is a marked couple of marked units that will, on a contract basis, patrol your neighborhoods, keeping the ne'er-do-wells and the malfeasance out of your neighborhood. We're not going to make arrests. However, if we do witness something that merits an arrest, we can observe it. Our vehicle, which I have parked outside, is equipped with a 4K dash camera. We have excellent recording equipment and a software package that I will go into in just a bit that's very helpful in collecting evidentiary value data. So, the name of the game is, and as I was doing this as a police officer off duty in many neighborhoods, deterrence. The more that the bad guys, if you will, see somebody in the neighborhood watching.
We don't believe that.
I'm sorry?
We don't believe that.
You don't believe that?
No.
Okay.
What was the statement? I'm sorry.
Which statement was that?
Oh, you made a statement. You said you agree with
I
said we as a group don't believe that.
We don't believe in deterrence?
We don't believe people don't. Your presence isn't going to make a difference. Not you personally, I'm just saying in general. I happen to agree with you.
You have to identify we. I mean, you know, speak for, I don't know, it doesn't matter, I guess.
In any case, in my experience as a police officer, I can attest to the fact that crime is less likely to happen if there is a presence. And there are a lot of established philosophies that, you know, coincide with that, that agree with that. When I was an officer, I did probably 30 hours of patrol every month for Glen Oaks, which is just up the road in Western Oldham County, and Mosher Farms, which is connected to Glen Oaks. And a lot of other neighborhoods in Oldham County do the same thing. So oftentimes what happens is these neighborhoods will contact the police department and say, you have an off-duty officer that would like to come out here and patrol for an hourly rate. And they will contract through a separate company to do so. Now the police are short. There are fewer officers that can do that. Furthermore, the economy is getting to the point where city governments are saying, we don't want them using our city cars and our city gasoline and our city employees and our insurance to enrich a contracting company, and we're going to cut back on the ability of these officers to use their take-home cars to do off-duty patrols to save the city money, and rightfully so. So the model that's being used is quickly going to become outmoded. So as an alternative to that, we have decided, as a private security company, we have our own fleet of cars. They are fully marked. They have strobing lights on them, though they're yellow. We have spotlights on them, and we have enough equipment inside that will track our activity and be accountable, help us be accountable to it. A bit about the software. It's called TrackForce. And what it does is it takes our marked units and it tracks them via GPS or near-field communication devices. As a customer, you can log into a client portal. You can see where our officers are at any time in live time, or you can look back at historical patrols and see where the officers went. If there's an incident, it's immediately recorded on the software. Time, date, stamp pictures are taken of the incident, any other evidence corresponding to the incident, and it's all routed directly to the mayor or the mayor's designee for their information. Whereas if a police officer makes a report, you're not immediately going to get a copy of that because you're not an involved party. So you have less ability to know what's going on in your neighborhood. We can also take that report and give it to the county attorney. We can give it to a police officer that's working a crime. And if the offense is bad enough, we can stand by with it until the LMPD officer does respond, make the arrest, and takes the man away. If you have an off-duty police officer there, he's going to have to arrest that individual. He's going to have to take him down to Metro Corrections all the way downtown.
But that's only if he sees what happens, right?
I'm sorry?
That's only if he observes it.
If he observes it.
Right.
If he observes it. You're the attorney, right?
Yeah.
So you know that if he observes a misdemeanor, he can make an arrest. If he doesn't observe a misdemeanor, he can still take that information to the county attorney and get a warrant.
Right.
So that person can still be held accountable.
But the person who observes it has to take the warrant.
And we'd be more than happy to do that and testify in court.
All right, good enough.
Okay. So the people that we hire, or rather, let me stick with the software real quick. It collects all of that information at evidentiary level value and is able to go to the police or your attorney or whoever you designate. As our client, we are beholden to no one but you. So you still, in essence, are able to enforce the law. We're just expert witnesses, and we collect the information. Now, the folks we hire are used to doing this. They are folks who are retired police officers, have experience in emergency service, military, and extensive security experience. So you're not getting greenhorns. What you're getting with us is experience. What you're getting with us is somebody who's going to stay in your neighborhood during the time an event happens, as opposed to leaving and going to the jail and the evidence processing and the station and all that. So while an officer's doing that, you're still, he's still getting paid on your dime. But he's not in your city. We stay in your city. We're accountable to you. And I think, and in my opinion, after 22 years of service, this is a great service for you or any city, and this is why I'm offering it. Because people has been my passion, the protection of people has been my passion for the last 22 years. And I'm going to continue doing that, not so much as a police officer now, but as a private agent for your protection. And I have rambled on for a long time. And so I've also provided you guys with a lot of information to read and hopefully help you understand better what we do and what housing. The mayor has suggested that we fill in for where your off-duty police officers have not yet been able to work. So middle of the night.
Yeah.
From like
they're wanting one to six as a time frame. And
here's
ours gets off at one usually, and so it would be probably best to do 2 to 5.
Okay. Well, it's entirely.
This is a supplement.
It's supplementary control. Okay. Is how it was proposed.
Sure. Yeah, because I talked to Tate's fine with it. He said it doesn't interfere with his because none of his officers really want to work those hours anyhow.
Again, the shortage happens because
right.
they
don't want to work. There's so much attrition. They lost 300 cops.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting low. And I talked to an officer the other day. I said, how many are you all hiring now? He says, our last academy class had 15 people.
Yeah, everyone wants the job.
Nobody wants to be the police, especially in the local.
Why would you want to be a police officer in today's world?
It's hard, man. It's definitely
hard. Question?
Absolutely. But let me just make one more distinction between our firm and the off-duty guys. They're usually running between 70 and 125 an hour. We're charging 45. So for a small city, that's great for your budget.
Okay, my question is, do you have a minimum number of hours per week that you need to do this? I mean, I didn't ask the question very well, but
I think
how many hours a week do you need to make to break even? So you need more than that.
Well, you all aren't the only ones we're working for.
Right.
I sent a letter to every small city, and I've been meeting with three others so far. There are like 80-some small cities in there. I would love to say we have, you know, a minimum number, but at the same time, we are customer-centric. And whatever is good for you guys, that's what we want to do for you, whether it's 3 hours a night, 5 hours a night, 8 hours a night, or day. Whatever you guys want, we're willing to go with.
Have you met Dennis, safety director?
I have.
Yeah,
we had a meeting.
Where's your base camp?
So our office currently is 4965 US 42 Suite 1000. That is a virtual office.
Right.
We do receive mail there. It's a Finley office park. They have recently sold the building and have told us that as of August 15th, we're going to have a new location. So we've already secured another location. I believe it's the Finley office park on Hurstbrook. And primarily, I'm working out of my home
right
now, which is in LaGrange.
Do you charge for travel time or just when you get here?
Nope. When we come into your city, we press a button on our software that starts tracking. And you get charged based on what our software collects as far as the time spent in your area. When we leave your area, turn it off.
If you observe a felony and they're moving, do you follow them if they, I mean...
We will not pursue.
Okay.
We can follow.
You can follow.
We can shadow.
Right.
But we have no right to, we're not going to take...
No ability to arrest.
We have as much ability to arrest as any other citizen. A citizen who witnesses a felony, and correct me if I'm wrong,
correct citizen.
Has the right to stop that person, detain them for police.
Which
we can do.
Can or will?
Depending on the circumstances.
Yeah.
If it's a theft of property and we collect enough information to help the police figure out who it is, I'm not going to stop him. But if it's a life-threatening situation, you better believe I'm going to stop it.
That's what I was going to ask you. Would you assist?
Absolutely.
If you witness someone coming out of the house with handguns or
something
like that, if you, you know, drove up and witnessed this, could you assist?
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Are you armed?
I am.
Okay.
And our units are armed.
Okay.
They are armed primarily for their own protection. But in the case that they do witness a felony and life is at stake, and the facts are as they seem that they are,
mm-hmm.
we will assist.
How many do you have at a time in the area? How many?
Well, as many as you want to
Okay,
contact.
So you have the staff to meet
We have two cars available right now.
Okay.
So DUIs, for example. If you witness somebody driving down the street erratically. So you can't arrest?
No, I'm not going to arrest him.
Right.
I'm not going to arrest the drunk driver. However, if this person is driving badly enough that life is in danger, yeah, I can go past him, clear an intersection, while I'm on the phone with LMPD saying, hey, I got a drunk here, do what I can to, I don't know, be in his way. I mean, there are a lot of things you can do.
Okay, so the question I have there is, why would LMPD respond to you and not to one of us?
Well, they can, and they might, and I haven't tested it yet, honestly. But my experience says that if you have an armed security officer that is licensed to work in the city of Louisville, who is giving credible information about a crime in progress, an officer is far more likely to respond to that with an intensity than he is a random citizen who may or may not know what he's talking about. Right?
But if you see this drunk driver or somebody who's committed a felony moving on, if you capture the license plate, you report that immediately to...
I'll be on the phone with dispatch.
Right. Now, if you see me walking out of a house or look somewhat suspicious, or anybody you think may be involved in doing something illegal, can you ask for their ID? If there's nothing wrong with asking for their ID.
I can walk up and talk to anybody I want to, just like you can.
Right.
Do you have a command center as far as, receiving calls or...
Well, that's actually part of our software.
Okay.
So when we have a guy that is on patrol, mm-hmm. he is logged into the software. If I get a call from the mayor, for example, saying, hey, we have an issue down on this such and such street, I can either call or I can enter it into the software and he'll get an alert that his post orders have changed and he'll give it special attention. So we do not have a dispatch center per se. But as the service grows and we get more cars out running around in Jefferson County, that's a distinct possibility. It's just not something that we've done yet.
What about the duties like that, say, Tate does with cars on the street? They won't be addressing those issues, okay?
No, we can't use speed enforcement.
Right.
I can't stop somebody and ride a
ticket. Parked on the street.
Right.
They're illegally parked as far as the city, ordinance.
Yeah. So if it's something that is an issue for you guys and the mayor wants to know, and there's somebody who's repeatedly breaking city ordinance, we can obviously report that and give him photographic evidence of this person continuously violating, which he can then give to LMPD or take to the county attorney for prosecution.
What if somebody's having a big, huge cake party or house party and, it's gotten out of control? Do you guys walk up and say, hey,
if I get a complaint from the mayor or somebody in the neighborhood, I can go knock on the front door. Anybody's allowed to go knock on a front door. They can tell me to pound sand. But at the same time, I can use diplomacy and be like, look, I can, or you guys can quiet it down, or you cannot quiet it down, and I'll call Metro Police and have an officer here in 10 minutes. And then you're facing tag ordinance violations, disorderly conduct violations, so forth and so on. It's all up to that person if they want to comply with us or not, but we can make it desirable to do so.
I'm just curious.
Just how you talk to people.
I like the added security idea for sure. I do like that.
We certainly will treat people with dignity and respect, and that's one of the things that we excel at, and that's part of our training. A lot of folks have an aversion to police anymore, especially in Louisville, because they're afraid that an encounter is going to go badly. We wear a soft uniform. This is our uniform. I don't have the badge on. I don't have, the BDUs or whatever. I wear khaki pants, boots, and a polo shirt. And I talk to people with kindness and treat them with dignity until they won't let me anymore.
I'll say this. You make a nice presentation.
Well, I appreciate it.
Grammatically correct. I mean, words are important. You make it. You don't sell anything.
Honestly, I'm not trying to sell you guys. I'm trying to offer you something that I know is good.
You're a good presenter.
Well, thank you. I spent a lot of time in court.
So if you witness a crime and you record the crime,
yes.
Do you all show up in court?
Yes, absolutely.
Do we pay for that?
That's not something that's happened yet, but I would think so.
I would think so, too.
Our guys don't make a habit of working for free.
Yeah.
So if it's required, if we get subpoenaed by Jefferson County District Court or Circuit Court, whatever the case may be, yes, we're definitely going to show up and make sure that you guys
get your justice. Yeah, because you have to show up and be held in contempt of court.
Right.
Plus, you could show up for a 9 o'clock trial.
But that's something. 10:30. That's something I haven't faced yet, and I appreciate you bringing that up because I could add that into a contract.
Yeah.
So, what? Do you, as far as say like insurance, do you guys insure yourselves, and then you carry a worker of like an umbrella workers' comp insurance?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We are fully insured and insured to the hilt. In fact, in order to work as an armed security company in Jefferson County, you had to present excessive amounts of insurance, which we have. Our company is not just a small company in Jefferson County. As I said, it started in 2019. The mobile patrol function is new. But we are working in 9 states now with over 200 employees in 3 years.
Mostly business.
Mostly corporate security.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly corporate security. And, you know, a variety of different things. We're actually doing school security. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm talking to a school next week, a private school in Louisville.
Have you ran into the instance where you were in a city or maybe even a neighborhood, I don't know all the places you may cover, but where you've been there for some time and then people know you're just security and just because people are people, they're like, oh, they're just security, we're not worried.
But we're in a cops.
But, yeah.
Why did you say that we're in a cops?
I've experienced it both as a security officer and as a police officer.
Right.
The people aren't brazen these days. There's a lot of people who just don't care. So that's where the diplomacy comes in. You know, it's all about how you talk to people. You know, as a security officer, I'm riding around, hopefully have become integral to your neighborhood. Everybody knows who I am. I'm your guy.
And here's the other thing. If they're that cavalier, you catch them on film.
Yeah, it's
all they don't care. I mean, you know, they're arrogant.
Sure.
That works.
And that comes out in court.
Yeah, that works.
Has nobody watched Parking Wars? I mean, it's so obvious in Parking Wars. It's unbelievable how brazen people are anymore.
They are. They really are. But to answer your question, the first one, again, it falls back to how you treat people and the choices you present to them, right? And maybe I don't have the authority, but I'm certainly in close contact and have good relations with those who do have authority, especially given that they're my former colleagues. I can have somebody there right then, and I can tell them, hey, here's what's going to happen. You know, make your choice. You can either go on your way, or you can stay here and continue this, and bad things will happen. The vest, yes, absolutely. Our guys will be wearing vests. Our policy says that if you're wearing a vest, it must be a concealable vest under the shirt. Again, keeping with that soft appearance. Mm-hmm. We don't want the, you know, massive carriers with magazines stacked on the outside and all that kind of stuff.
It's
just scary to people too. You know, you just don't get as good a reaction out of them usually.
Right? No, I can't imagine.
But you know, I know the mayor had said that you know, that he wanted us to do overnight patrol and supplement to the folks that you use now, but I would love nothing more than to get in there and show you guys what we can do. And, you know, as things progress with the economy and the police cars stop being able to be used and that, you know, falls away, that old business model leaves you guys wanting, that we can kind of fill in and take over all of it. I really do think we can do a good job for you and that you'll be happy with our service.
Well, I saw Linden just started their own police department today.
Linden?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Who they merged with their...
Devon Dale.
Graymore, Devon Linden.
New local cooperation agreement, I expect.
Not Graymore.
Related to Evandale.
No, Graymore, Devondale.
Oh, Graymore, Evandale.
Graymore, Devondale. Yeah. They've had their own police department for some time, and they also have contracted with other neighborhoods in the past to do coverage, official coverage.
I want to know how they get their vehicles.
Usually surplus. Graymore stuff is, I had a friend who worked for Graymore, a couple of them actually, who worked for Graymore a while back, and their stuff, you know, they had a small budget, so they have to buy what they can. But the guys that I work with are like, our stuff's all together with duct tape and bail wire. I've driven cars like that, too.
I did in the Air Force.
Do you guys have any other questions?
Not me.
I would love to answer any more questions.
I don't really have any questions, but I gave up a significant portion of my budget to increase security last month. Yes. I'm the road commissioner. I gave up some of my snow budget. So I would like to see him in here along with Tate. I don't want to fire Tate or Derby City in any way, but I'd like to use him as a supplemental.
We don't have any intent to get rid of Tate. He's going to stay.
And I'd like to see him in here between 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock on days that Tate's not here, just to get a presence, just so people that are still awake can see him driving around in his marked car for a little while.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then he can do the overnights as well. But I think Dennis, that it would be a good idea to have him seen for a while, you know, by people, so they know that we have somebody in here doing that.
And if you all want, if you'd like, if you hire us and you would like to introduce us to your residents, I'd be more than happy to have any of the commissioners or the mayor ride along and stop and wait to talk to people.
Say, hey, you have a standard contract.
So we have, I do have a contract.
Do you have one with you?
So I've given one to the mayor.
Oh, you did?
I did. It was part of the original packet I gave you.
Oh, I'll have to do
that. I can email one to
you.
Yeah, email it to him.
Are you month to month, or are you 1 year?
Well, I mean, I would love to do the longer contract, the better, and I'll tell you how that might work to your advantage. Because as those prices rise, my prices might have to go up as well. But if you contract with me for a year, it's going to be the same price.
But we could adjust the hours during the year. It just, we would have you contracted for a year.
Well, I mean, when we do a contract, it's going to be for a certain number of hours.
Okay.
Now, if you want us to increase that, we'd be more than happy to do that.
That's what getting my other question. Instead of an open-ended number of hours, you need a stated number of hours.
Yeah, I would love to have a specific, because I have to hire people to do this, and they have to know, okay.
You can't call them at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, we'll get over it.
Right. And then we need people like to have set schedules. But yes, I'll send you the contract on this.
So when you say alternate hours, say for instance we have a really bad ice storm, I hope not this winter, but nobody's out on the road, would you be able to, could you change the schedule where you wouldn't have to have someone here that night, you know?
When we say we're going
to
be somewhere, we're there.
You want to stick to that, okay.
Now, here's the thing with ice storms and, you know, natural disasters and so forth. You are especially at risk during those times.
Mm-hmm.
Your power's out. Your alarm systems are out. The roads are treacherous. Mm-hmm. And the thieves know this. And they use this as an opportunity because they don't care about the weather. Sometimes we would have a torrential downpour, a thunderstorm that came, you know, straight out of Hades. And we'd have people breaking into stores because they knew that if the thunder and lightning was going to set off all the store alarms because of the shock sensors on the windows.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? They go take a rock, phew, right through the clip glass window and steal all the cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't want to decrease security on nights that are
foul
weather.
Well, I mean, it could go either way.
Right.
You know,
or if you'd like, we can put a clause in our contract where, you know, if there is an event and you wanted additional coverage during that event, we could do that on short notice, be it at the same rate or an emergency call-out rate.
Yeah. I'm thinking once you're in here for a little while, you'll maybe see trends of which night more people are out on their feet, you know, out on foot. And I'm sure, you know, there'll be some trend.
Well, those trends are also trackable with our software, so you'll have, instead of having a piece of paper with a series of check marks on them and a date, what you'll have is access to a online historical data, immediate data, what happened, here's a picture, here's the person, here's their driver's license, and then you can look back. In February, we had so many of these events. In March, we had so many of these events. And, yeah, you can collect a lot of information just by tracking the data.
Right.
It's an outstanding software package. I'm really been
happy. Well, it kind of sounds like what my Vivint does with real time on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of sounds like that.
It's similar.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar. Any myths I can dispel about security people? I had always had a bad impression.
impression of security people and security companies when I was an officer, because I always thought they were just, you know, wannabes, or, you know, what they call rent-a-cops, stuff like that.
No, they don't anymore. Retired homicide.
Yeah, anymore. Yeah. They are highly trained individuals, and especially when they go through our training. We have our own in-house training that they are required to go through, qualifications, you know, everything. So with first aid, you know, CPR, AED, if you're in your front yard mowing your lawn and you collapse and we're riding by, I'm stopping and giving you CPR. You know, it's very, very qualified people that are going to be doing this patrol. So
that's a plus.
Yeah.
Especially if you did come up on something, you know, that someone needed.
Sure. Well, and that's one of the reasons that we have experienced people like we do, is because they've been in those situations. Their metal's being tested. They're not going to run away and say, oh, no, Metro Police, three blocks away, I'm looking at something, this such and such going on. No, they're going to be in it.
Yeah.
So if we contract with you, are you just going to drive around the whole 3 hours? Let's say we contract with you for 3 hours. Are you going to just drive around and patrol? Or do you stop and sit?
It's going to depend on what it is you guys want, because sometimes it's best to drive around and be seen a lot. Sometimes if you have a particular issue with a particular house or a stop sign that people like to run or something like that, you sit in a location where you're visible to that location, you know, to that problem area, and your presence, if you're out doing foot patrol in the area, people will say, oh, they're not going to think twice about doing this while there's a security officer there.
Yeah. I'll see you do foot patrol and car patrol.
Our guys can get out of the car. The tracking device isn't attached to the car. We have one that is, but it is his cell phone, the smartphone. And they download an app, and when they begin patrol or begin tour, it tracks where that phone is. So if our man gets out of the car and, you know, say he has to walk into a city park or something like that.
Yeah, we have green space.
There you go. Yeah. Let's say he's walking through a green space checking to make sure there's nobody there doing drugs that night with a big old flashlight.
We wouldn't have that.
No, certainly not.
Not on our picnic table.
But there you go. He gets to take that with him, and that activity is tracked through that green space. Okay? And if there's an incident there that he runs up on, he takes a picture on that software. It's immediately attached to a report, time and date stamp, and routed to the mayor or the road, you know, department or the safety commissioner, you know, or whoever it is designated by the man in charge or the lady in charge. I have to include that.
Driving around, we've got kind of two parts to our city, and you can't drive, there's nowhere to like drive.
He lives in the orphanage.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what he said.
Yeah.
It's really the palace, but anyway.
I was in the
Yeah. Anyway, and then there's also trust condos, but we have a lot of foot traffic.
Right.
And we have had a car stolen, lots of cars broken in.
Well,
attempted to get in a home and a back door.
Uh-huh.
And the lady was home, and we believe they knew she was home, but she didn't know this person. So a presence being seen, I think, is, you know, a big thing.
Not only that, but if you look at our full name, it's L4 Security and Consulting Group. We also do security consulting, and we have people, should your city decide, who can come in and take a look at a situation like that. I personally am SEPTED certified. That's Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design. And I can look at a situation and manipulate the built environment to change people's behavior. It's very effective. And that's not the only philosophy that we use. We have people with extensive consulting experience. And we can have them come up if you have a troubled area like your green space or the border between this apartment complex and your neighborhood. We can say, all right, here are some things you can do. Give you a full consulting report, and then you take that to your contractor and say, okay, Mr. Landscaper, here's what I want you to build here, and here's why. And they'll build it, and hopefully it will solve your problems.
Plant yucca plants.
Yucca plants. There's hollies are horrible.
Hollies are horrible.
I hate hollies.
There's another one called Crown of Thorns, and it has needles on it, sharp as a pin, and they're this long. And if somebody wants to walk through that to get into your neighborhood, God help them.
Yeah, there's a vine, too, that has great big long needles.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name.
But there are a lot of solutions.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about traffic control earlier, and of course the mayor was saying that you have a lot of school traffic that comes through the area or something like that, or people who are running stop signs and speeding on the residential streets and things like that. I did a project for Mercury Farms where we came up with some solutions to change what I call the builder's grade road, okay? And still working with the county to see if they'll help out with it. But basically, it was a long and straight road that was very conducive to getting up and going really, really fast through the neighborhood. Plus, it was sort of a connector road between two neighborhoods or two or three different neighborhoods. So if there was a lot of traffic on this road who weren't personally invested in the safety of the neighborhood and thus keep their speed down. So what we decided to do was take the road, which was significantly wide, and paint the stripes on it differently so that it became a chicane. And they would put planters inside of the... Here, let me draw it out on a piece of paper because that's very difficult for me to explain. But they would put planters inside of the wide parts of the chicane so that while the road was still wide enough for two vehicles to easily pass, or one vehicle and a fire truck to easily pass, it gives the perception that the road is very narrow, which forced people psychologically to slow down. And I tested it with my car parked on the side of the road.
Excuse me.
And every time somebody would come by and there was a car parked on the side of the road, they slow down because they're thinking, oh, this road isn't just narrow enough for two cars to pass, when in fact you can squeeze three through, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But they see the narrowed road. It's basically what they call it, traffic. I don't remember. It's traffic calming is what it is. So you'd have planters like that. And not only does it beautify, or not only does it slow the traffic down, but it beautifies the neighborhood.
Yeah, until they start hitting them.
Well, that's on them. I talked to the county engineer about it. And he said, so long as you have adequately painted lines on the road, which is something that you could use your rate budget for,
We had bricks up at the front of the...
Adequately painted.
Yeah, adequately painted. And they would actually drive over them just to see if they could kick them like a
every day.
Yeah.
A cue ball.
People will be people. I don't care where you go. I don't care how much money they have. People are going to be stupid.
We'll put big boulders.
You could put big motors.
Yeah.
You would want to ask your attorney if that's going to put you in liability.
I don't want to be doing that.
He said we won't be doing that. But anyway, there are traffic calming solutions that you can use to slow traffic down in lieu of writing a ticket. Plus, when you tell people, hey, we've got this service here and they're going to be, you know, watching traffic, they don't know whether we can write tickets or not. So if they see a marked car...
They've slowed down when I've been sitting.
I've got
a little handheld radar,
mm-hmm,
that's designed for machinery, but it clocks cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat on one of our streets one day while school was still in, and most of the cars slowed down. And I sat really close to a speed bump. I can't tell you how many people just kept coming over the speed bump at 35, 40 mile an hour.
Right.
Even the school bus was doing 35. Okay. All right. So I won't tell. I mean, I took the school bus's numbers down. Okay.
Yeah.
But I didn't do anything with it. But again, we don't have the new, on the main drags, the old main drags, we don't have the new speed bumpers on them. We have the old 5-foot ones.
Not the humps.
Yeah. We have the 5-footers.
Gotcha.
And, well, they don't care about tearing up their suspension system. Right across them.
Yeah.
We lost two mailboxes today. They said on next door, somebody hit two mailboxes right in a row on Northumberland.
Yeah.
Might need to do some paint, like you said.
Some
paint in, so that way they don't hit the mailboxes. They always hit the mailboxes.
Yeah.
Well, why don't they call the police if they lose their mailboxes rather than tell them next door?
I'm
telling you what, they need to quit, get off of next door, because they keep taking our property values down with all this crap.
Well, if there's anything else I could do to help you guys, I'm more than happy to. If there's any questions you have. Does everybody have one of my cards?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Any of you fine residents want a card?
No?
You did?
We have a website. It is about to be redeveloped to provide more information because it's about 2 years old. So if you go to our website, it will be partial information. Anything else you need to know, please give me a shout, send me an email. Anything I can do, let me know.
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you. Good to meet you. County, you look really familiar.
I've been in court up there, but I go to court up there a lot, but I don't necessarily.
I might have seen the end of the courthouse.
I was Judge Conrad.
Retired.
Oh, she did, really?
Yeah, and Jerry Crosby's taking over Judge Court.
Is he, okay. He was in district court.
He was.
He's one of the ones.
Did you want to say something, Harold?
I'm not in a rush, so if you guys. If you want to discuss or if you want to ask questions or move on to other city business, it's up to you. I don't care.
No. I have just got a problem in my throat.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, we got one gentleman here. Just Mr. Sneed, who wants to talk about something. I have a document. Hang on a second. Let me pass this out before go. Mr. Snoop, he can get his tax bill last year, so he's here to plead his case to you all. So that
thank you.
We sat down, Mr. Smith and me, talked a while this past week. So I'll tell you about what you're looking at on that page is his homestead documentation we get from PVA for us to reimburse a person filing for homestead. And in this case, the last year's taxes was based on $195,000. And the tax amount for the base was $399.17, correct? Okay. With the homestead last year was $40,500. So that brought his property value down to $154,500, making the base amount $316.26. Now, because we haven't been paid, there's a 10% penalty, and then there's interest. And 10% would be $31.63, and the interest would be $34.79. When I talked to him, I says, all we can do is bring it back down to the $316.26, but it's going to take the commission's voting on it. I can't make that decision.
Let me ask this. The bill has not been paid?
No, not for 21.
Right. Did he receive the bill?
No.
He didn't.
He said he didn't receive the bill. He paid 20. 20 got paid. He said he didn't receive the bill to pay 21. We have problems with mail in our city, big time.
Why don't we send these certified so we can prove that they've been received?
Then they don't sign for me. Then it's just
So can you explain homestead?
Yeah, you turn 65, you get homestead. Or you're disabled, you get homestead.
Okay.
You get, if you can qualify for disability, you get the same amount as what regular 65 homestead is.
Okay.
Like your neighbor has, you only get one, either the disability or homestead. you can get disability earlier than a regular 65 homestead, though, if you qualify for it.
What's the return address on the envelopes of the city?
City PO
box. PO box is on the back.
Okay, and do we get a return envelope for this?
No, but that doesn't mean anything.
No, I'm just asking. Obviously, if it was returned, then...
If you add that service, because I work for a mailing company, if you add return receipt requested, then it would mail the piece back if it's undeliverable.
Well, we get undeliverable all the time from U.S. from Postal Service all the time. We got another one this today when we went through the post office box.
I have no problem with it. I mean, you know, I would have a $150 fee in there, but I don't care about that.
I was going to scramble them up for you.
No. Well, it wasn't. That's another thing. This one wasn't on the list. That's why. Well, I looked, and it's not got a lien on it. There's no lien. There was nothing mailed to
it. I remember that name. I mean, I've been here for a long time, and I don't remember. How long have you lived there, Russell?
Go ahead, Russell.
Hey, well, hey, thanks for giving me a couple of minutes. I had a long meeting with the FAA today, of course. I moved there in January of 20. Okay. I had lived in Alaska 40 years, and I have a daughter here who works for UPS, and she came up there and said, "Dad, you're getting old. I knew that." And then she said, "It's time that you move down here where I can make sure you're going to get away." So...
And you reside there.
It's not me and the dog.
The dog ate the bill. Okay, I'm on.
That could have been like the homework, right? So I got the first bill, and as he mentioned to you, I paid that. Well, I never got a second one. Or I would have paid that one also. Because I'm prepared to pay the...
We get all kind of misdirected mail.
If you let them go, I mean, if I had a vote, I don't. I'd say, you know.
But I can't tell you how many times mine's 4518. I have a 4518 on Dickerson. I have a 4518 on Mecklenburg. I have one on Ludenburg. And mine. That's four 4518s. And they don't pay much attention to it. Luckily, the guy on Ludenburg, if he gets my mail, I take it over. He brings it over to me, and I take his over to him. But I have no idea how many times my stuff went to Dickerson or Mecklenburg.
I mean, this is not the first time I've had a problem with the U.S. mail.
Don't worry about it. I mean, you want to take a vote?
So is the question, will we waive the 10% in the interest?
Yes.
Well, can I make a motion that we waive the 10% in the interest and not waste any more of his time?
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Get a second.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf, for the second. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The question is now, when are you going to write the check?
I can write it now if you guys want it.
Yeah.
I got in the corner. He wants it.
No, he don't get it. I get it so that I can get it to Beth, and then she gives it to him.
I was wondering if I can combine the two.
Yes.
This year's and then the 316-26.
Yeah,
just write one check. Just put it at the bottom for tax year 21 and 22.
And that's agreeable. Okay. All I need is a rubber check, but all I need is a. That's what I need. Okay.
I got one. There we go.
You got it.
Welcome to Kentucky.
Huh? Thank you.
Yeah.
I was born and raised here.
Oh, well,
I went to school back.
You're here
a long time ago.
Gotcha.
Well,
I started.
How old are you? How old are you? What's the old you?
He's 80.
80?
Yeah, he'll be 81 in September, I believe.
Seriously?
I turned 80 in September.
That's what living in Alaska does for
you. Actually, you know that sound?
Still kicking. I can still fly an airplane, and I'm enjoying a little except for the heat.
Well, Lisa hasn't got them B-52 mosquitoes.
You've got a point of, or bears, either, by the way.
Oh, you haven't been around the neighborhood.
Hey, he's the bear. Okay. He's got a horrible growl.
We have wild turkey on the green space.
I believe that.
No, that's a true story.
Yeah.
Okay, where's my list?
Okay.
All right.
And thank you.
While Russell writes that, all right, the city meeting minutes, is there anybody that Somebody can check over here.
I tried to keep up with that.
Oh, I know what that is.
Yeah, it's something for Evergreen.
Yeah, it's
the last part of that bill.
All right. Did everybody read the minutes? Anybody got any corrections? If I don't hear any corrections, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes of this June 21st
meeting? I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Who seconded it? Thank you, Commissioner Hall. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? All right. City financial reports. They were mailed out Friday or Saturday morning. Everybody get the city financial reports? Find any problems? All right. If there's no objection, do I hear a motion to have the June financial reports approved?
I'll make that motion as well.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous again. All right. Initial this and we'll be done with this. Alright. Next up is the city attorney's report, and let's start with the delinquent taxes.
Bob, Robert had the on the agenda two names, Ray and Yaman. Yaman, this foreclosure action filed years ago and then finally the bankruptcy caught up with us, so we were able to recover close to $5,000.
She sold her property. In their bankruptcy.
So anyway, we got grabbed a bunch of money there, sent it to the city. Ray's, you know, paid $305 for 18, she was 19, I think, and 20. And I'll stay on top of where he did that. So I'll stay on top of that. I talked to her. Nice woman. I'm confident
they
she'll pay it.
And bills on the back.
Charging.
What?
The interest, so it's not like she's getting away from, you know, the base value. She's paying interest in that.
When was the last time she sent us on the speed? Was it May?
No, we got one just a couple. It was last week or the week before.
Yeah.
And that was for 19? It was 18.
I didn't pay
interest. It was
18.
2 years ago.
Okay.
But I'll stay on top of it. And she's, again, paying interest, so you're making money on it. The next thing I want to talk about is, you know, we had two people put on the sanitation contract.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Before we go there, before we discuss this matter any further, a closed session is in order. I'm Mayor Robert Stone. A motion for the City Commission to go into closed session under KRS 61-810. Parentheses 1, parentheses C, to deliberate confidentially since litigation is a resolution option. Would any member of the City Commission like to second my motion to go to closed session?
What are we discussing?
Litigation.
As if we're going to sue them or not?
That would be it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm leaving.
No, you can't leave.
Susan's
second.
You have to be here.
All right.
I'm leaving. He's leaving. Okay, so we got a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Okay, so Adams is the second on that.
Thanks, love.
No, Susan.
Susan.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all have to leave. Y'all have to leave for a little bit while we go into closed session. I have to turn the... All right, do I hear a motion to start the meeting after our closed session?
I'll make a motion to come out of closed session.
Thank you very much. I couldn't figure out how to say it. Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Thank you, Commissioner Hall. All right, coming out of closed session, need a motion to proceed with the litigation.
Okay, I'll make a motion to proceed with the litigation.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. All right. Need a roll call vote for this. Commissioner Adams.
Are we going to say what it is?
No.
For the record? No?
Okay. No, it's a litigation for...
Anytime.
Anytime. Okay. Right. Okay. Motion was for litigation with Anytime over not honoring their bid contract. Okay.
Okay. I vote yes.
Okay.
Commissioner Adams votes yes.
Commissioner Adams votes yes. Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
Commissioner Hall?
Yes.
Commissioner Mulpin?
Yes.
Mayor Stoneham?
Yes.
Okay. Litigation with Anytime has been approved unanimously. Okay. Is there anything else you need in your attorney report?
No, I think I'm covered.
Okay. All right. Old business. Anybody got any old business they want to talk about?
I'd like to know what's going on with that piece of property. Has that changed?
We'll get there.
That's in new business?
That's on folder now. I'm looking for
okay.
I'm asking if any commissioners got any old business they need to address. Okay. City audit. We got the letter of engagement from Bramble and Ackley in Fort Wright, Kentucky. I sent you a copy of it. And she has estimated between $7,500 and $8,000. That's as they stand today under the current legislation. She's got this addendum. Basically, it says that things can change, that they can make an adjustment. But has anybody got any questions? I know it was a long document. It's a standard document. I have our city accountant here, and he can justify that this is standard wording. All right. Do I hear a motion to have Bramble and Ackley do our city audit for fiscal year 2022?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right. Unanimous. Okay. You, son. That's your part right there. That is it. That's a letter of a...
That's an engagement letter.
Engagement. Like contract? Huh?
Is it like a contract?
Yeah.
Well, should you sign it?
Right, it's on the next page. We have a manager in a second. But it's on the next page.
Oh,
come up there. You know, that one. I asked her which was it. Okay. Now, property purchase status. I finally got to talk to Mr. Butt. And he is... Steve and I are meeting with him on Thursday at 3. He wants the property, but I don't know how he's going to get the property because of the fact that we've already got it. Jennifer's commitment to us. And when I talked to him today, he indicated that he was selling his suite anyhow. I don't know when he's going to get it sold, but anyhow, we're going to meet with him on Thursday at 3. We just need one signature. That's all we need.
So, but he's telling you he wants to own that other piece of property, and the thing stopping our contract is
his
signature.
Yeah.
Interesting. That, I mean, that's contradictory. He's
going to
sell
that
he wants to buy that property.
Well, we're going to have a talk with him. What he wants it for is a buffet type of building. See, what he don't understand is if that thing stays in the association, even if he buys it, doesn't have to agree to let him do it. And I've already told him once that the association turned down the previous buyer of that property on what they wanted to put in there. So the association has, until that property comes out of the association, he's not going to be able to buy it. Or if he does buy it, he may buy it and then not be able to put what he wants in there.
He wants to put a restaurant there?
I forget.
Wait, kind of stupid idea.
It's a what do they call them things? Where they had catering and they handled
a hall.
A hall, yeah, like thing. And this is, I told him this is
a
pretty much
hall.
Yeah. I told him that was pretty much, that was one of the things that we're gonna have is have it so that they could have receptions, they could have graduation parties up there, they could have things like that at that. So,
but he's not getting the money for the rentals.
No. No.
Right.
But he's a caterer, and that's what he's wanting to get involved in.
He's a caterer.
Yeah.
Well, then he should get involved with our...
Well, that's what I'm trying to talk with them about. But honestly, we can't... I don't think, and this is up to Steve to find out, I don't think we can force anybody to take a particular caterer, even if we were allowed to. I think we can have them on the list, and they have to meet certain requirements, okay? We don't want people catering anything up there that doesn't meet health conditions or whatever else.
Well,
so who indicated it was for sale? His place was for sale.
He told me today.
Well, then why don't we just wait a minute?
Well, we could do that.
What's the rush?
There is no rush.
We don't have any money to build a building anymore.
So he's already got it up for sale, though, right? Because
well, that's what he kind of said that today. But I really couldn't get anything straight out of him. He's.
It sounds like it's a hustle to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow.
You know, like Lady Fingers, they are caterers. They've got her building's over on Old Henry. But she doesn't have banquets there or anything.
You're right. Well, that's
so,
what
I mean,
she's.
So, I mean,
but that's what I'm saying is, I don't think the association would let them put that in there anyhow, because first off, if he has a banquet facility, he's going to need a lot of parking. If it's got a capacity of 200 people, he's going to have at least 100 parking spots, minimum. Okay, I don't know what planning and zoning will make on
that. That's all controlled by, yeah.
Planning and zoning.
Yeah. Zoning and all that stuff.
Right. So it's all
going to back up to more houses in Worthington Hills?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that... You haven't looked at that lot?
Backs up to daycare. I can see it from Westport Road. I just didn't know...
No, it just backs up to the daycare.
You know, backs up to that court off of the main run or...
It backs up to daycare.
If we buy it, does it come out of the association?
Yeah. It has to come out of the association before we can buy it. Because
that's why you're asking on permission for
it. Right, yeah, because we can't, as a city, actually pay a private entity.
Well, if we build the building, maybe you could also talk to him about being the property management reservation person or whatever.
Well,
we were going to have to hire somebody to keep track of all the reservations.
The thing is in P3, which is public-private partnership, that's all planned out, and usually what happens is the person, the corporation or the entity that becomes the private entity, they usually get the management of the facility for a certain period of time before it's turned back over to the city. They actually fund the whole thing pretty much, and then by them funding it, then there's a contract for a length of time where they manage it so that they can recoup their investment. And at that point, they've got a garage over in Lexington that they just put up. Part of the side is a garage. The other side's got the offices. And the company that is the private entity in it is managing that garage and those offices for 10 years. Once 10 years is up, then they turn the property ownership back to the city.
So the condo association is going to be our property management for the building? Is that what you're saying?
What?
The condo association?
No.
That's selling us the land?
No. I'm saying when we get the land out of the association, okay, we get with a, I forget what they call them. There's companies or consultants that basically do the P3 work, which includes finding somebody that's going to be willing to become part of it, and then they actually work out the arrangements.
So they sort of help fund the building.
No, they fund the garage and the office building. That was completely funded by the private entity. And then they turn around after they collect all their share. They get a majority of the share of the parking fees every month. And they get a majority of the share of the office rentals. And then the city gets part every month. But then after the 10-year contract, okay, they turn the property back over to the city. And at that point, then the city can, at that point, keep them on as the management company for the property.
Okay.
Okay? Does that make sense now?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So that's what you can look up P3. Kentucky's one of the few states that has a P3 type of arrangement. It's public-private partnership. And that's to try and encourage build up in the city by entities to be wants to be involved in the community. Okay. Did you go to that class with me, Dennis? On that P3? Or did I just go over there for that myself?
I think you went over there
for your company. Okay. That was a KLC training class that I went over. They had the consultant firm that is on Lexington giving it, so I thought it was quite interesting. Alright, Tony's Record Service. I finally got to talk to Nick, the owner. Tony's Record Service actually does towing for almost all the East End. There are some requirements for us to be concerned about. He has a Word document that we can adjust so that it states City of Worthington Hills, so that they have the permission to tow the truck or have our agreement to tow it. The thing is if, let's just say Tate's out there, and they won't tow parked cars on the street, they won't call anybody in to do that, okay? If Tate comes across a drunk driver or a person without car insurance or expired tags, he can, at that point, he can call Tony's and have them come and tow the vehicle. If they have I don't know what else. But the thing is Tate will have to stay with the vehicle till the tow truck comes there. He even has to do that if he calls downtown to have them tow it. If Tate doesn't stay with it and they get there and the owners manage to get back in it and drive it away, then the city's responsible for the fee even though there wasn't a tow. That's the only drawback that I really found that I thought you all would be concerned about. But the thing is, right now, we've got cars, Tate's pulling over, got expired tags, they're not insured, and they really shouldn't be on the road. So before we can do anything.
Has Tate been instructed either way? Has Tate been instructed to stay with the vehicle?
Yeah, that's
or not?
We can't do anything until we get the approval.
That's
the station
policy for the police department.
Yeah.
They have to stay with.
Okay.
So if you pull somebody, they pull somebody over in Louisville who's got expired tags and no insurance, they arrest them?
No, they cite them and they'll cite them.
But do they?
They don't tow the car.
Right.
Okay. I don't want that to happen in Warren Hills.
Okay.
Because they just constantly drive around. They just don't go down to court, pay the citation. They sit there and they just keep going about their own way. It's just like the parking tickets we give.
Okay.
I bet most of them parking tickets never get paid.
So Tate pulls a guy over at 11:50, what happens?
What?
Pulls a guy over at 11:50, no insurance, no driver's license.
Well, then, if we got the commission's permission, okay, he calls Tony's towing.
Then you're missing it. He's leaving at 12.
No, he's not.
He would just stay?
No, sometimes he stays till 1. He
works yeah. Well, whatever. I'm just saying, if there's not enough time on his...
Well, he's going to make the choice based off of what we tell him to do. If it's close to 1 o'clock or whatever the quitting time is, then no. We would probably recommend that he not stay with the car. But he's out there 3 hours a night, and he can tow a parked car with expired tags and no insurance.
How quick is the response time on Tony's?
Tony's saying that his normal response time is within 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay, depending on what's going on.
And where does he tow him to? His lot?
Yeah, he tows him to his lot. Now, this is not like parking wars. They just come and pay the towing fee and then get it out.
Right. So he gets
a
tow fee then?
No, he gets a tow fee. The person that was driving a car ends up with a ticket and the tow fee. They don't have to show any driver's license or anything to get the car out. Not like park awards.
So what are we paying for this car to be towed?
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing as long as it's there when the tow truck gets there.
As long as Tate's there.
Yeah.
So we're not paying Tony for nothing.
We're not paying. We are not obligated to pay Tony as long as the vehicle's there to be taken.
What about vacated cars or dumped cars? He tows them and he pays
well,
for that.
If we call him to tow an abandoned car, as long as that abandoned car's there, it won't cost us anything. Dennis can call him and let him know that we have an abandoned car, as long as it's sitting there. But if Dennis calls them and tells them that, and in the interim, somebody picks up and leaves, or takes the car.
If it was an abandoned car, you could call Metro instead of using Tony's, where it would actually go to the Louisville Metro impound lot.
Well,
it's been there a while.
They said they're full and they're not towing.
It happens all the time.
That's because they won't have auctions for some reason. I don't know what the problem.
So that's what I'm just saying. If somebody dumps the car, you know, would Tony get it out of the way or whatever? It could happen anywhere. Yeah. So
depends on where it's at. Like I said, it'd be another example. It would be like they won't tell what they're setting on the street. They need that to prove that it was an abandoned vehicle, I guess. But
that sounds like a parked car scenario to me.
It is.
I've actually heard out in J-Town where somebody like just abandoned the car in the middle of the street. So I just got, they left the door open and everything. They just got out and walked away in the middle of the night.
It's like that trailer they left out there too.
Yeah. So, but I was just curious.
Well,
if we're not getting paid, I mean, if the taxpayers don't have to pay it, okay.
Well, again, I'll just reiterate this again. If the call's made to pick up a vehicle, tow vehicle, and that vehicle is not at the location, when the tow truck gets there, the city ends up owing a bill to Tony's.
How much was the bill? Like $50?
I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be nice to know. I mean,
probably 100 something.
I don't understand why, if it's like a ticket that it has to be told, especially if Louisville's not doing it. But
for certain circumstances, they can't allow a person to get back in and drive. If that's the case, I mean.
Do you want to run in, or do you want somebody that doesn't have insurance out on the street?
No, but I mean, it's not just because I don't, you know, it's happening. It's happened.
Well, it doesn't have to happen in Worthington Hills, because if it gets stopped, then we get it towed. We're doing more than Louisville's doing.
But who's to say they'll get insurance then?
Huh?
Who's to say the person on
Well, they don't. It doesn't matter. It gets towed.
Well, they'll have to pay the fee to get it.
Yeah, they'll have to get the fee to get it.
They don't have money for insurance.
Oh, well.
I guess every day that car's over there, there's a lot fee, too.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So, they may not be on the street for a while, and they may not get their car back at all. Because Tony probably, I don't know what he does with them. I mean, all I'm saying is it's an option. It isn't going to cost us anything. We make it very clear to Tate how to make sure that we, you know, if he makes a phone call, that he's to be there until that tow truck gets there. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. All the uninsured vehicles and all these non-registered vehicles can run the streets of Worthington Hills all day long.
Well, I mean, it don't matter.
How many tickets has Tate written for uninsured?
Quite a few.
I mean,
expired tags.
He's taken tags off of cars. Earlier in this year, they were required by the state to pull the tags. In fact, there's a couple of places I know where he pulled the tags. I'm not going to talk about them because it's recorded, but yeah, I mean, it was illegally parked, and he pulled the tags when he checked them because the insurance wasn't current.
Gotcha.
Well, if their response time is 30 minutes, I think Tate should stay with the vehicle if it's close to his off time.
Well, we wouldn't have him call him. Yeah, we wouldn't have him. Dennis would probably advise him not to be calling Tony if it's within 30 days, minutes of his quitting time. I think Tate's got enough common sense to know that, too. Mm-hmm. Once he calls the tow machine, it's basically...
Time, so he don't get your car.
Huh? What?
Don't get pulled over at certain times.
We caught some kids one night when I was working, parked their cars in a field, and they were trying to looking at windows of the windows. We call the police. Well, as soon as the police show up, the kids started coming out of the woodwork. Well, Tony's was, because it was a park in the field, their fee was $300. And they went, can we go ahead and move this and pay you? He said, well, it's going to be $300. But the fee is different depending on where the park is.
So technically, if they're on the green space, right, it's a 300.
Yeah, probably more than that.
Yeah. All I need is a motion, one way or the other. If you don't want to do it, we'll just move along.
I'm okay with hiring one. So I'll make the motion for Tony to do the towing in our city.
Okay. All right, we have a motion for talking with Tony and getting the proper documentation. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Commissioner Adams was the primary. Commissioner Metcalf is secondary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. So we'll get with Tony. Oh, a communications call. What time is that going to be?
Well, like before, when it's convenient to everybody, and we're going to use Channel 4.
Channel 4?
Yeah.
All right, Channel 4 on the check tonight. All right. New business, Anybody got new business?
I just had the one thing. I talked with Mulbetter Kentucky Mason, who does our snow removal,
mm-hmm.
and he is interested in continuing to service our city,
mm-hmm.
and he would like to present another contract in the August or September meeting.
Okay.
So he will be in touch with us, and he will probably come and present his.
Okay.
I don't think we have to bid it. Right?
No.
And we don't have to do anything with the Courier Journal and any of that, right?
No.
Okay. So he said that he will show up and talk about his contract. He may have to raise his rates a little bit because fuel went up.
No, really?
So it may be a little more expensive, but not too bad, is what they told me. So they will be here probably in the September meeting.
Okay. All right. 7:19. Okay. All right.
We're still on new business?
Yeah, we're still on new business. We haven't moved yet.
I want to get rid of the picnic tables.
For what reason?
To cut down on the drug use and alcohol abuse that's going on out in the green space. I've chained them together and they're still moving them.
How are they moving them?
Bob, I don't know. There must be a bunch of them. They drink a lot, so.
Well, if you got them chained, they can't move them past the trees.
I don't have them chained to the trees. I have them chained to each other.
Well, chain them to the trees.
Still a lot of. Well, I don't have enough chain to do that.
They don't have a place to sit and leave trash, or they won't have a place to sit.
Where are you planning on doing with them?
I don't know, but I suggest we sell them.
Oh, what?
Nobody's using them but these kids. There's a couple that lived on Mecklenburg that said they sit over and smoke dope all the time. I've never seen that. It doesn't surprise me. They're definitely drinking because they're leaving all their liquor bottles in the green space. I mean, I've got pictures of that.
They won't fit in the storage unit to use for the community.
Have you got that to the storage unit?
I thought you were getting a bigger one.
We ain't got a bigger one.
2 stories or
10 by 5.
They're very heavy, too.
Yeah, they're real heavy.
Put a sign on them, do not steal, and then someone will just walk away with it. You don't have to
move. Right, that's true.
Can't we just move them down to behind... back there where you're putting all that.
I don't want that trash back there by me.
Yes, bring it to
our. I'll tell you what. Why don't we put them down there in that little area you built up that's on the green space behind your house?
I'm still putting mulch in there. But again, you're putting them over there. They're just going to do the same thing once they figure out where they're at.
Well, fine. Then you got your cameras. And you can get pictures of them.
Well, you just go let them trash it up and then.
Well, they're going to trash no matter if the picnic tables are or not. Let me put it this way.
I don't think that's true because it's specifically around the picnic tables. So it's not like they're sitting somewhere else in the green space and doing the same thing.
Well, they're just going to sit underneath the trees.
It's convenient to them.
Maybe not.
Yeah, it's convenient.
Yeah, it's somewhere they know they can go and sit. And
they're not dragging them over to the corner anymore because that's too far to drag 2 picnic tables. They are heavy. But they did drag them over to try to get some privacy behind the fences and just left all their trash. Yeah.
Well, do we know who it is?
I have my suspicions.
Well, let's send our security guy.
Tell Tate who you suspect it is. And then have him go talk to the parents.
Well,
those are $2,400 picnic tables.
I get it. I don't think they were that much, but I get it.
Yeah, they are.
We'll see.
I know where the invoice is.
$2,400 for the two or each?
Each. You know who was running this city before. They didn't really care.
Well, they can't be stored somewhere for a little while.
Well, that's what I wanted to do is move them to...
back out.
Move them closer down to his.
I thought chaining them together might deter them a little.
Chain them to the trees. Buy some chain and chain them to the trees.
Yeah, they're 1,078 here.
Huh?
They're 1,078 here.
Well, what if they vandalize the trees? What are you going to do then?
They've already vandalized trees. They've already vandalized trees once.
So it's not attracting. I've never seen a family over there having a picnic. I've always seen kids hanging out at the picnic tables. I don't have a problem.
As long as they
are picking their trash up, I wouldn't care.
Well, the problem is there's no trash can over there.
There's that.
They brought the trash in. They should take the trash out.
You and I both know that, but they own Boy Scouts, okay?
If you put a trash can there, then somebody's going to go into the trash can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was picking up trash over there, too, when the trash can was there, so. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And it's not a little bit of trash. You've seen the pictures. But it's not like there's a cup left there. One afternoon, there was easily a half dozen quart or fifth liquor bottles.
This is too heavy.
So they had a party that day. So it doesn't have to be addressed now. I'm just saying it hadn't changed. And chained them together, it just slowed them down, didn't stop them.
Well, the good thing is they haven't graffitied him this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else?
I don't know. Do you want a sign that says that they're on camera or something like that? Maybe if we make them think there's cameras in there, maybe that'll deter them.
I won't change them.
These kids are brilliant.
The problem is that I hate to accuse somebody. Can be wrong. Right. So unless I had a photo or, you know, caught him in the act, it'd be kind of hard to go specifically.
Is there a place we could put a trail camera over there?
Yeah, on the trees.
They're going to see it on the tree.
Well, that's where you put trail cameras, is on trees.
They probably wouldn't notice it at first.
They're
in there at night. The trail camera won't be
there. Well, they're in there during the day, too.
What time?
I ran into them on a Saturday in the evening mowing. So,
did they move when you came through with the mowing?
Yeah, they moved the picnic table to get out of the way.
No, I did. Did they leave or did they stay?
No, they stayed. So, and again, nothing going on at that particular time. Like, they didn't have alcohol or anything out, but anyway, who knows? You'd have to catch them in the act. But it's
I'm telling you, it's not going to change even if we get rid of the picnic table. You're just going to go over there and trash it on the up against the tree anyhow. They're going to sit by the tree, climb on the tree. They're going to do whatever they want. They'll drag their own seats in probably if they really want to sit there.
Yeah. I don't think these are ground sitters. They like the comfort of that picnic table. So anyway, it's just my opinion.
Any motions?
I'd say let's chain them to the tree first and see what happens.
You don't want to make a motion for chain?
What?
For chain.
No, I think you can just go buy that, can't you?
Yeah.
You don't need a motion to make him buy a chain, right?
No, you just chain them?
Yeah. I mean, I got enough chain to chain one. I don't have enough chain to chain them both. But I have to buy another chain. So,
yeah,
like I said.
I think we should try that and then maybe have our new security guy go back in there on certain evenings. I don't know. Friday, Saturday evenings or something. Walk through there, maybe.
You can drive back through there. Walk up to the back and get shot.
If somebody got hurt on those, can they see the city?
Yes.
I think there's an answer right there. That's just my opinion.
All right, I'll buy some more chain. We'll see if chaining them to the tree changes it. Like I said, they didn't get it to the corner. It's too much table, but they managed to get it out of the space and behind the tree where they could sit. They might have a little privacy. That's what they were trying to do. So,
because they're underage.
Of course. I mean, they've had stolen bikes back there in the corner. Did you go see that? Did you all go get that?
No.
Well, it's gone. They stuffed stolen bikes behind a tree in the corner between the tree and the fence.
Well, he was probably drunk and couldn't find it.
Who was drunk?
The guy that owned the bike. Yeah. He came back the next day.
I'm pretty sure that was a stolen bike.
When I looked at it, wasn't that?
No. That doesn't mean it's not stolen. But anyway, it's just a lot of riprap around there.
Okay.
There's trash in the place. So the last thing I'd like to bring up is commissioner pay. Steve's had a raise since Glenn was here.
Commissioner pay is, you can't do commissioner pay now. It had to be done before.
I understand. We're talking about for next year.
No, you can't.
What do you mean? No.
No. There's any adjustments to the commissioner pay had to be done before May 1st.
I'm not talking about for this budget.
No, it had to be done before May 1st because commissioner pay could only be changed on election year.
All right, so can you say it's not before May 1st, 2022?
No.
What are you talking about?
Any time you make adjustments to an elected official, it has to be before May 1st in the election year.
It has to be?
Prior to May 1st in election year.
I see.
Okay?
Okay. Gotcha.
You take any KLC classes, you didn't know that.
I'm on grass, Bob.
I don't care. All right. Steve left before I bring this up. Has anybody else discussed it with these utilities company not bearing their service lines? I'm talking the fiber optics and the cable.
Where are they not burying them?
Everywhere.
I'm kind of annoyed by that. I walked down the sidewalk the other day, and it was across the sidewalk.
Yeah. Where was yours? Where did you see it at?
Oh, I was walking down Northumberland toward Bay Run.
Okay.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
4002's got some new cables up. That has to be coming out of that box because it's across their front yard.
Yeah.
That's AT&T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's across the sidewalk, and it's kind of dangerous.
Well, it is definitely across the sidewalk.
Anyhow, I would like to have Steve come up with an ordinance that requires them to have to bury it within 10 business days.
How do you enforce it? I've never had the cable company make me wait that long.
How long do you wait?
Cable or AT&T?
Oh,
it's AT&T.
But it's not Spectrum.
No, I've never had Spectrum make me wait that long.
No, because most of Spectrum's is in the back.
Yeah, but they still lay the cable on the ground when they hook it up.
Right.
But they all, they would, in a week's time.
When we do it, we got to cover everything, okay?
Yeah.
You don't want to just say fiber optics. You just want to say all underground utilities have to be buried within so many days. And that way, we send that, when somebody comes in and wants to put in new installation, they get that ordinance. Whether we enforce it or not, they get that ordinance. And then we can take it.
Are we notified if someone does that? Is the city notified?
Because we won't know what day they're coming.
Yeah, how will they? You mean if it's laying on the ground, how will they be around?
Wait a minute. Like AT&T.
Yeah.
When we had the AT&T briefing, okay, we could have told them, if we had that ordinance, we could have said, all your cables have to be under within so many days. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. They've got new people that are going to try to put fiber optics in all through Kentucky. And there's all kind of things. This would just be something that when we get somebody new...
I'm just curious how you enforce it.
Well, in this case, we can take it to circuit court.
To bury a cable.
To enforce it. We can take any of our ordinance to circuit court. They won't usually do anything on mowing grass and parking and anything else, but on something like this where it's a safety issue, we can take it to circuit court.
Interesting.
But that's only anybody new, so AT&T can continue to tell
we would send them notice that we passed this ordinance. We'd send it to all the utility companies.
Because when they came to my house, they told me it'd be buried within 30 days, and it was, but it took like 3 weeks or something. It was across my sidewalk for
3 weeks. How long was your sitting out there?
4 months.
4 months, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
His went in right before Christmas, right?
Yes.
And you didn't get it buried till sometime in March, if I remember right.
Yeah, something. Mm.
And it was after, how many times did I call him? I called the guy, I don't know how many times, well, Dennis was in the car.
Yeah, at least 3 times.
And all he got was, well, we'll check into it. Finally, I wrote a letter to
when you're talking to the right person,
an AT&T person,
and
told him that we weren't going to put up with it no more.
Somebody else.
What's the conference?
I know, yeah.
Hmm. Well, Public Service Commission, if we have to, it's a public safety.
Yeah.
It's a public issue.
I'm not arguing about what the consequence is.
Well,
some kind of court litigation or something.
Yeah, I warned them. I told them and every one of my correspondents that if somebody gets hurt, it's going to be your responsibility.
I'm surprised that they know that, right? They know that it's going across the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they're not in a hurry to get fixed.
They have a subcontractor. It's not the AT&T that's burying them lines. It's a subcontractor.
Well, can't we just ask them not to hook them up till they're prepared to bury them? Because it has to cross the sidewalk.
Look, I have to. You know, the thing is Steve needs to check to see if we can do it to start with.
Well, I mean, I think it's certainly an issue to create a safety hazard on the sidewalk.
I agree.
And I think you open yourself up to liability. So there's somebody at AT&T. Who was the contact you had?
He was the sales. Every time I called him. And he said, well, that's not my department, but I'll call such and such and have him check into it.
And does he reply? Anybody reply?
Huh?
Does anybody reply?
I got a reply back. I actually went above. I went to the regional person that...
Actually, we stopped a guy on the street, and he got angry at us. And we drove around a minute, and then we saw another AT&T guy, so he stopped.
He gave me a name. But I talked to Linda.
Who do we need to talk to? I know that you're not responsible for this. So he finally gave him a card.
Yeah, he gave me a phone number and a name. But I went above. Linda Aim is the person that is an attorney. She handles all these communication things. Anyhow, I sent her a note asking her who I needed to talk to at AT&T. She sent me a name. I sent them 2 emails. The first one was nice. The second one was, get your ass in gear. Okay? And she got her immediate assistant to contact the person that's responsible for checking it, and they said that they would check their database, and then they asked for if I had any specific addresses, and I wrote back, it's your responsibility, you know who you've got installed.
Right.
Okay, period. Get them buried. That was pretty much my note back to them.
Right.
Okay. I just wonder if
AT&T is that's like trying to deal with a railroad company. You're not
every time I go to one of these meetings that has city officials, I tell them if AT&T's in there telling you they want to put their fiber optics in, make sure you tell them it's got to be buried within so many days.
I think there's a way to keep them from stringing it at all without burying it the day they install it because it crosses sidewalks.
Yeah, I think so.
They don't. The installers don't bury it.
So what's to stop? I mean, obviously the homeowner doesn't want you to cut their cable, but what's to stop an individual that's walking down that sidewalk that trips just
nothing?
Cut that cable and get it. Then you don't have service, and they got to run a new line. And it's going across the sidewalk. I mean, I'm just saying.
I even told them about their plastic lids. I mean, the one down in front of the daycare center has been broke twice now.
Yeah. People driving over.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm going to talk to Steve about it. I just wanted to bring it up to you all.
I mean, it's not an issue really for Spectrum, right? Because it isn't another good
it's
reason.
It's still
to,
a utility.
Another good reason to put your stuff on the green space, just saying.
It's going to all of them. We can't just weasel out just saying without including
everybody. Of course you can, because the difference is one crosses a public sidewalk, the others don't. The other's cross a green space into your backyard. I've had to avoid Cable's mowing.
No. Not up in Bay Run. Where's your Bay Run, the Cable?
Well, they don't have a backyard.
Yeah.
It's out front, too.
Yeah, mine's out front.
Well, I mean, again, I'm not saying AT&T specifically is the one you need to target. I'm just saying anybody that's going to cross a public sidewalk with a cable, it needs to be buried the day it's installed. At least bury that portion.
Yeah.
I think that's a reasonable request.
Well,
anyway, the question is can you enforce it?
I told you we'll take them to court. We just got to have something. All right. The L4. That's new business. What do you want to do?
I mean, I'm fine giving them a shot as supplemental to Tate and Derby City.
I have a question. So do the citizens have access to their activity?
No.
If it's an app, why not?
Because they don't.
Well,
they're not the contractee.
They said it's public information. It's on an app. You can see where they're at and what they're doing. Why would you not provide that to everybody? I mean, everybody's got access to tape.
Well, they don't.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean they got access to tape?
You're going to tell me they can't make a phone call and get a hold of tape?
Yeah, they can do that, but they can't track him like you could.
Well, but Tate doesn't
offer. Yeah, but you'd have the ability to track them and see where they're at, and you wouldn't want the people that might be up to something to be able to.
Why do you want to give all the people access to the app? That's my question.
I have no idea.
What good would that be? That would just make it much more easier for the criminals to know where the hell they're at.
Well, there's that. That's a good point.
God. Jesus.
Maybe that's another reason not to have him there, right? I'm sure you can't hack an app.
Well, if you want to hack the app, that's fine. But no, there's no reason to get free criminal, access to it.
You want access to that, it's probably not difficult to get. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying, why would you want... Never mind. Anyhow, if we're going to do L4, we need to have a motion.
Do we discuss how many hours they're going to be in here?
Yeah, I mean, we just need to do something. It's new business. We just have to take action on it. It has to be approved by the commission. How many hours? That again, is how long do we want to do the contract? My personal opinion, we do it on a temporary basis for the time being.
Temporary for you mean a year?
No.
Didn't he say that was his contract?
No. Oh, he didn't. His contract can be any length you want.
Flexible with all
that. Okay. I thought he indicated it was a year.
He said he preferred a lengthy contract.
Gotcha.
It would help us because gas prices would be...
Yeah. Right.
He could lock in the...
Got, I got you're right. Now. You're right. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, what do you all think about hours? How many hours? What can we afford? We talked to him about
3 days a week, doing from what?
Two to five. And yeah, because the people are starting to go to work at 5:00.
Yeah, and allowing to be flexible like Tate, where he's not always on the same day sometimes. But most of them, we could be here on the weekend.
So just overnight stuff is what you're looking at?
Yeah.
See, I still think y'all should have them in here like now, like driving around in the daytime where they can see the security, you know, stuff.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. We'd have to see how far the budget goes, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and it wouldn't have to be, like Susan said, I mean, just for...
The first month,
or something like that, have them in here during the day, too, at certain points, so people can see
people
that we have
them. Yeah, we can have one day of the week when they come in here from, like, 6 to 9.
Yeah, I think
And then the other 2 days, we have them 2 to 5. Does that seem fair?
On alternate times of take. Like,
well, they wouldn't be in here the same day.
So we couldn't find people to cover that late shift. Right. We could, but not on a regular basis.
Yeah, right. The 2 to 5 would be in addition to the night's tape, probably right. In here.
Yeah.
The 6 to 9 would be on a different day when Tate isn't here.
Right.
Because I think Tate does 7 to 10 or something like that.
Something like that.
He does 8 to 11.
Yeah, 8 to 11.
So even if he was in here at the same time, it wouldn't matter anyhow. He's only in here for an hour at the same time. But, you know, we could, you know, Dennis would work it out so they're not on the same day.
Right. Because that'd kind of be confusing.
So what do you guys want to do? You want to do a 90-day trial contract?
I was thinking we'd do it till daylight savings time changes, which is the first weekend in November, first Sunday in November.
So that would be about 90 days.
Yeah, it's a little more than 90 days, but that was what I was going to recommend. But before anybody makes a motion, I've applied for L4 Security Group employment. My application indicates I'd like to be considered for a variety of positions, which includes armed security, so I won't be voting on this matter.
Because you're going to be security also?
I've applied for armed security. What my post would be, I would have no idea. But they have different options. One of the things was risk assessment. I know risk assessment. I was trained in it when I was in the military.
All right.
So that's why I can't be involved in any of the voting process. All I need to do.
How'd you all find this guy?
He sent a letter to
me.
He sent a letter to me.
He found us?
Yeah, but we went to other meetings and we heard about him.
Yeah. But he sent a letter to every one of the 82 small cities within Jefferson County.
I wonder if he's going to do anything with Coldstream and Oakhurst and if we could get some kind of bulk rate.
We talked about that. We want to.
But
if we could.
But the problem is, okay, they've got a contract with the losers, okay, the ones that just sit on the corner. And before you recommend them, you experience them at least a month before you go over and try and talk to
the other cities
and Thin Castle. Plus you got Oakhurst, okay? Oakhurst may want to use them, okay?
Yeah.
So there's a big group right there, Thin Castle, Oakhurst, probably Willow Cove that's over the hill, okay, because they just had a car stolen over there last month. I saw that on the LMPD website.
Okay. So, I mean, you want to write it up to be on to where the contract ends on a certain date, whatever the Sunday after daylight savings time is?
Well, we could do it until November 15th or whatever. That's mid-month of November. I mean, that's 3 months easy.
Okay, and then we'll reevaluate at that time and decide what we want to do then.
Well, at that point, we'll have experience with them. And at that time,
data too, so you'll be able to see what's actually happening.
In that way, Dennis and I could talk to Coldstream, Thin Castle, and Oakhurst, and see if we can get them on a big arrangement. But I don't want to go over. I don't want to go over to them and make a recommendation, not knowing.
Well, no, you want to get them in first.
I don't mind putting my online, but I don't like making a recommendation when it's not going to work out. You got to experience it.
Right. And just like with our garbage service fiasco that we had, we don't necessarily want to go with the cheaper thing.
Right. Well, the thing is
all
what
in.
I had to draw back
go all in on the cheaper guy. Yeah. You know, I want to keep Tate. I don't want to go all in on the cheaper guy right now.
The only thing that I have the problem is they dial dispatch or 911 depending on the situation, just like Dennis and I are already doing.
Right.
But the thing is, they're going to respond quicker to him, especially since he's a retired police officer.
Plus, he's armed security. Okay? They have no idea that we're armed out there. Okay? When LMPD shows up, they show up when they want to show up. When it's, but sometimes they respond, depending on what the situation is, much more quicker than something else, you know?
Correct.
So, again, you know, that's the only problem I had when I heard about it, because I sat in the vehicle when we had our meeting and I heard the LMPD radio calls, but the same one that Dennis gets on his app, they're 15 minutes delayed. Okay.
Anybody can do it, and you can. I know it's 15 minutes delay, but you still get an idea of what's going on in the neighborhood.
It's definitely a delay, but anyhow. So, for us to continue or go forward with contracting, I know y'all want to decide on how many days and how many hours and how long we want to do this temporary. So, I guess we just need to have a motion and a second and a vote, and we'll do whatever happens.
All right. We'll make a motion that we accept L4 security.
For what? How many days a week?
3 days a week. Did we talk about 1 day?
1 day, 6 to 9?
Yeah.
1 day, 6 to 9.
That's not set, right?
No, we don't want any set dates.
No,
and then 2 days from 2 to 5, right?
Right.
2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Yes. 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Yes.
Just for the record. 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Okay.
Not 1 to 4 is on time.
Well, it's $45 an hour.
Okay, but I'm just learning this in the bank.
It is. She put $15,000
in there. $15,000.
And Harold put $4,000 of his in there.
Okay, so what's... How many hours a week do you talk about?
Nine
times 45 times 52.
No, not in November.
Well, okay, let's say it to you.
All right.
Just for,
let's see. All right, 9 times 5 is 5, 4 is $405. That ain't right.
It's 9 hours times 45 times 52. $21,000.
Okay, we're not doing it that way. Divide it by.
That doesn't matter.
Divide it by 4.
No, it doesn't matter. What I'm saying, okay, divide it by 4. If you put, how much did you increase the budget by?
$19,000.
So if I divide the budget to cover the same period, you're not going to have enough money. You're going to be over budget.
That's what I say, we're only doing it 4 months.
So what are you going to do after that 4 months?
Well,
you going to decrease the hours?
This is just temporary.
I get that.
And in the wintertime...
He doesn't change his hours. He said in the wintertime, he said...
All we're saying right now is we're doing it until November 15th. That was what the motion is.
Okay.
All right, so divide that by 4.
No, you have plenty of money, then.
So you're talking 12 to 5, is that right? One night, 12 to 5, two nights a week?
No, he said 2 to 5.
2 a.m. to 5.
2 to 5, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two nights, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Yeah. All right.
And then one early evening.
I was trying to come up with the 9 hours.
Well, I guess we'll have to figure out if there's a little bit of leeway, like, you know, how Tate sometimes does
6 hours instead of nine because there's a holiday or something like that.
Right. He also said that he would be willing to increase hours.
So right.
If you contract for 6 hours and ask him to do nine, I think he would do that as opposed to contracting for nine, going back to eight, and only do six.
Right.
I don't care what you do. I don't have a vote. I just think
no, it makes
somebody
sense.
To run the numbers.
Well, between now and November, it's going to be about $5,265.
Okay, so how much? I understand the budget is increased by $19,000.
$19,000, yeah.
So we got 25 plus 19.
25 already spent, though, isn't it?
He didn't spend it all. He only spent like 14 so far.
Plus, he gets the $1,000.
Okay.
Plus, I mean, he works his schedule so that we have enough money on tape.
That's fine. I'm just saying I didn't know if anybody ran the numbers. I don't care. I just want to make sure you don't agree to something and then.
That's why I don't want to go with the contract, a year contract right off the get-go.
No,
because I mean, why do we want to go with a year contract if it isn't going to work out anyhow?
That's fine. I'm totally fine with all that. I just asked if somebody ran the numbers to make sure that
we had enough money.
You had enough money. And if you're telling me you do, then that's fine. I don't care. Even if you don't, I don't care. You're over budget. I don't care.
We can't go over budget. We can go over budget.
No, what I'm saying is, I don't care if you're over budget. It's not. I mean.
We can adjust it on the worksheet.
Yeah, we'll adjust accordingly, I guess.
I mean, I'm not even supposed to be
talking about it. You're right.
Make sure
that
somebody run the numbers to make sure the money was available.
Well, 21 is pretty close to the 19. Plus, a lot of times Tate can't work because
you don't have
he can't find anything.
Are there cities that's using the service now?
Yes.
Well, then can we not contact one of them and see what their results have been? If they're happy with them, they may be locked into a contract they're not real happy with. Wouldn't that be wise?
Well, that's what he's saying to you 3 months.
That's what I'm saying is 3 months. You don't want, Tate can't do anything after 1 o'clock. That's it. I'm just going to make it very clear. We talked to Tate. None of the people want to work after 1 o'clock. Period. So if you want the 2 to 5, this is an option.
I just asked a simple question.
I mean, I'm just telling you the answer.
Yeah. I'm tired of being marked up, Bob.
Well, I am tired of you all trying to friggin' dang. We told you, I don't know how many times, Tate's employees do not want to work after 1 o'clock.
Tate didn't indicate that in the meeting, that's all I'm saying, when he was asked. So that's got nothing to do with it. I'm just asking.
Hey, can't even keep people on our city because we demand so much for them to work.
Wow.
We require them to actually do work, not sit on street corners and wait for crap to happen.
But you're also talking about a rate that's basically just $20 an hour less than Tate's, and all they're going to do is record things.
And that's exactly what you all wanted anyhow.
To record things?
They'd be invisible where people can see them.
I don't disagree with that. I like the visibility. I don't disagree with that. But at the end of the day, the difference between having to hire a police officer in here for those hours and hiring this guy is he's going to record things. Hopefully that works out. I'm just asking if there's other cities using it. Maybe they have an opinion. Maybe they say it's fantastic and they've gotten arrests made and they've cleaned things up. I'm just asking a question. It's simple.
Well,
as long as you keep dragging this out, okay? If we wait another month or just that much for into the summer, I don't care what you do, one way or the other, okay? Commissioner Adams wants a patrol in here 2 to 5. We've given you that option. Period. This is all we can do.
Yeah.
If there's anybody making it difficult, it's Commissioner Hall.
I didn't say a goddamn thing, Bob. I just asked a question. As if there's anybody that you've spoken to that's using the service. Simple as that.
Well, I'm sure we can check with him on his business card and find out what cities in Louisville he's contracted with, and then we can check in with them.
Yeah, I just asked if anybody had reached out to anybody they were using. But I'm sure he's got references.
We did talk to a gentleman, the attorney for Douglas Hills, and he recommended him to us.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and make that motion for L4 to do some supplemental security through November 15th for a minimum of 9 hours per week at the rate of $45 per hour. From 2 to 5, 2 days a week, and from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. one evening per week.
Okay.
Did I get it all? I think I got it. 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. 2 days a week. If I didn't say the a.m.
No, yeah.
I'll second it.
All right. So, got a motion from Commissioner Adams, and then the second from Commissioner Metcalf. I guess we'll take a roll call vote. Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Commissioner Malfin?
Yes.
Commissioner Hall?
No.
Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
All right. We have three yeses and one no, and one person who can't vote. So, motion passes. All right. Is there any other new business? All right, Commissioner report.
I'll go first.
Okay.
July 7th, I received a call from Cindy Bingham with PMI Rural Property Management saying that she represented Trust Condos and that Rumpke wasn't emptying the dumpsters out completely and they wouldn't. Trash was on the ground. So she left her info. I called her back and I let her know that I would contact Rumpke. I emailed Chris with Rumpke asking him to please look into it. He emailed right back saying that he would have the route supervisor investigate, and he hasn't gotten back with me since then, but I haven't gotten any other complaints. So at 10, I drove the city to the streetlight check. 7:14, received email from resident on Queen Anne's Court asking if an above-ground pool was permitted. I forwarded that email to Mayor Bob. He replied or answered the resident. Apparently, she had asked back in May, and he had already answered her. 7:17, I drove the city for the streetlight check. 7:19, attend the meeting, read all emails, and we'll do the radio check.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Milton.
Property maintenance. Low primary property 629-727-9718. Secondary property 637-179. Early summer fertilization was done on the Boynton Pole Islands. Weed man. 7-1, trimmed weeds in the ditches in the holding pond area between Rustburg and Queen Anne's Court. 7-9, trimmed weeds in large green space between Mecklenburg and Queen Anne's. Killed weeds at flagpole and main entrance islands. Picked up trash in the main entrance. 6:26, turned on program sprinkler systems on all three islands. 7:10, chained picnic tables together to try and keep the neighborhood alcoholics from pulling them to their corner to have a party. And I sent Dennis and Mary Stone an email with a picture of the bottles again. 7:22, received a call from the owner of 4711 Loonbug Drive about a copy of their tax bill. I advised her to contact the mayor or the city treasurer.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Hall. Commissioner Adams.
I will participate in the radio text with Commissioner Metcalf and everyone tonight, July 19th. I drove the roads of Worthington Hills to check for cracks and potholes. There weren't any citizen inquiries that came in via phone this month. However, I did have one citizen inquiry that came in via email. The citizen lives at 12128 Bay Run Drive and is widening his driveway and needs the speed bump warning sign moved a couple feet further away from the speed bump. I went out and met the citizen, took some pictures and did some measurements. I advised the citizen that we can move the sign or that his contractor that forced the driveway to move the sign advised to call 811 before his contractor moves anything. The citizen is considering his options on how to proceed. Those with no better Kentucky about the upcoming snow season. They're interested in continuing to service the city of Worthington Hills for the upcoming winter and would like to present a contract for renewal on or before the September meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Commissioner Metcalf.
Traveled the city on multiple occasions at various times. On 7/5/22, 11 a.m., attended the meeting with Detective Tate Mason, Third City Protection. On 7/8/22, 11 a.m., attended the meeting with L4 Security, issued three parking permits. Mayor Stoneman and I went to Steve Swagger's office in hand, Small's office on one occasion. Mayor Stoneman with the post office on multiple occasions. And I attended a ham radio emergency communications exercise in Shelby County.
And that's it. Is that it? All right. Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Is there anything else y'all want to talk about before I ask for an adjournment motion?
Do you have any thoughts about painting Northumberland to keep the mailbox people from hitting mailboxes? You want to paint any stripes down Northumberland?
No. Where did they hit it?
I think
that's why I said that. I think it's the house where the lady had married Texas.
The what?
I think it's the one across from the old C's house.
What? I can't hear you. You're mumbling.
The house across the street from the C's house. I think that was one of them. I didn't realize there was two down. I saw a mailbox laying on the side of the road.
Okay.
So that's why I said there's nobody there.
Well, that's the reason why they're hitting
it. I could be wrong about that. It may have been further down, but it was in that general area.
Is it still down?
Yeah, I think it's
just coming. I just saw a mailbox on the side, laying in the grass on the side of the road because that's come up a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know how you can hit two mailboxes and not make it somehow.
Why couldn't they hit that toilet out there? You know?
I would assume
that. Yeah. Well, there's a toilet on Lunenburg.
I mean,
yeah, Northumberland. Why don't they hit that? Yeah.
Sad.
Is that...
I'm hoping that they just put that toilet
that looks out there like it's past...
been sitting there.
I don't know. I've only seen it for a couple of
years. Yeah, me too.
It looks like it's on Northumberland. Does it say it's on Northumberland?
That's on Lunenburg.
Yeah, I didn't see any mailboxes.
There's a mailbox on the ground in Northumberland. I saw it.
I know. When did you see
it? I couldn't tell you the address, but I saw it. I didn't see anything knocked over, just the mailbox was in. I noticed as I drove past it was a mailbox.
That's on Lunenburg, close to where Mason lives. Yeah. Okay, it says 3820 to 3830 Northumberland. Oh, that's a rental house.
Yeah, I didn't see two of them. I just saw one of them on the grounds.
There. That's a new asphalt. You know the guy that put the new asphalt that's right there close to Lunenburg Drive?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. This is the first house. Lunenburg Drive's right here. The rental house is here. And this is the next house. It's that purple, ugly purple one that's on the corner. Yeah.
That's
one of them.
That one may not have been hit by anything.
Somebody backing out of their driveway.
That's where that's at. I recognize that driveway. That's it. He just covered that asphalt. Okay, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. It is time.
Somebody's
it is 9:26.